Evening, everyone.
Good evening.
These people too. Although I must admit, this cell phone thing is probably the weirdest part for me. I much prefer talking to the humans that are actually here with me tonight. I see this as such a great privilege, especially that today is Women's Day in South Africa, that I get to share with you. I was asked a little while ago, and ever since then, it's literally been the stirring on my heart that wakes me up at night, which is not great. But God's just been really stirring this message in my heart that I then literally will sit on my phone in the middle of the night typing out just these notes that have been pouring out as I've been thinking of what to say on Women's Day in church. Because I think there's a lot we could say. So this is my sort of, what God's been stirring for me, and we've been focusing on prayer at Fountain over the last, I don't know how many months. And so I thought I'd sort of tie that in and kind of Diane asked me for a title, so I called it Hannah's Prayer, which is funny because that's also biblical. It's my prayer as a Christian, as a South African, as a woman. This is sort of my prayer for us and what we, where we are and maybe where we could be. Because this is a significant time, it's a significant day for me to even be preaching to you guys here. With that being said, men, please don't stop listening. just because this is Women's Day, it doesn't mean this doesn't involve you. In fact, the opposite. Now more than ever, we need the men in our lives and the men in our churches to be coming alongside us and joining with us in this fight, I guess we can call it, in this journey that we are on. We are called together as believers. The fight is for all of us. And if one half of us are unable to achieve even just basic things, then none of us can. Because the destiny that we have as people and as a church community is for all of us. I really just want to encourage the men here and the men listening at home to just stay focused on this with us as we just look through some of the things that are going on for us today. So it is an interesting time that we are living through. Our women are being celebrated today. But when I look at our country and our world that we live in, women are not being celebrated. Statistically, things are not looking good for our gender. In researching for this tonight, I was looking up some of the statistics on gender-based violence and the things that we are facing in this country. And in South Africa right now, 30% of women are unemployed. Okay? We know we've got a high unemployment rate, so that probably doesn't surprise us. The other thing is that 40% of women in South Africa will be a victim of rape. So what that tells you is actually you're more likely to be raped than ever get a job. Wow. As a woman. Hectic. That honestly, I saw that statistic and I freaked out. Because that is insane, that's what we're telling the women in this country. That you are more likely to be raped than to ever find work. And that is flipping hectic. And that is what we're living in. Unfortunately, we might be people of faith. We might be all these other things. This is the culture that we are living in. This is the society we are living in. And these are then the same women we celebrate today. So it's a very hard space we're in. I remember the first time I visited a post office after Uyenene's attack. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. But I actually have a very vivid memory of the first time I visited a post office after that incident where she was raped and attacked in a post office in Cape Town. And I remember seeing these signs up in our post office about, we stand against gender-based violence and all these things that the post office was now publishing. And I was just overwhelmed, I think, with emotion because I sort of thought to myself, why should a post office ever have to tell us that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you should be against rape. Obviously, you should be against gender-based violence. Why does a post office need to have that advert? They should be advertising envelopes or stamps or something. I don't know. It just felt so ridiculous that in the year that we are living in, we still have to say things like that. And that's the reality that we face, that when I go to a post office, I think to myself, am I safe? Hey? I'm sure there's other ladies here that can testify to that. That's insane. You just want to go renew your license or something. And so we have this vulnerability as women, and it's being preyed upon. And this is the culture that we are living in. Our greatest characteristics are being used against us. The fact that women generally are open and trusting and want to have friends, want to have community, want to be loved by others, all these things are then used against us in these vicious attacks, in this gender-based violence, in this sort of society that we are currently living in. Consent is a word that now we have to teach everyone about. It's something that should be common knowledge, that consent is something you should be looking for. But unfortunately, it's become another hit word because it's something we're having to actually focus on. And the focus is on the victims, not the perpetrators. So it's always about how many women it happened to, not how many men did it. And that's unfortunately what we're looking at here. And so we all have a responsibility in this, and we're going to look into it. And I promise I'm not just going to be giving you horrifying statistics all night. But I just wanted to sort of give you an atmosphere of where I'm coming from with this message. These are the things I'm reading about as a South African woman every day. These are the things I see in the news. These are the things that come up on my social media feeds. And then I'm faced with this thing as a South African, as a Christian, as a woman. Where do I stand on this? Where does my Jesus stand on this? And what is my role in this? What is the role of the people around me? And so that's really what I just want to chat to you guys a bit about this evening. Unfortunately, men are not listening when women speak about these things, which is why I say, men, please listen up, because we are needing your voices now more than ever, because women have been complaining about this for a long time. We haven't been saying, oh yeah, please carry on, we love being victims. But unfortunately, when women complain, there's this amazing thing that happens. We just get labeled as a whole bunch of other things, but generally it's not taken seriously. But in the society that we live in, men are taken seriously. So when men speak up, things actually change. And I think that's what I'm also calling out, is saying, men, this is your time to protect us, to defend us. As simple as when your friend sends a rude WhatsApp joke, you don't just laugh or just ignore it. You actually say something back and say, that's not okay. I do not want you speaking about women that way. Because what happens is it starts there. It starts in the simple things, the simple little groups, the simple little jokes. Because as soon as a woman is the butt of a joke, she becomes an object. Yeah. And we care a lot less about objects than we do about people. Mm-hmm. And so we have this space that we are creating where it's okay to objectify. It's okay to do those things because it's an object. It's just a meme. It's just a picture on a WhatsApp group. But if we speak out, if we actually call it and say that's not okay, all those little things do eventually come together and help this tide that we are trying to create. So that's why I say, men, you're involved in this. There's little to no consequence for all of those things. There might be consequence for the big crimes, depending on our judicial system, but there's no consequences for that. There's no consequence for the locker room jokes. And so they continue, and they continue breeding this culture that we definitely don't agree with. And so I think that's what I'm also just calling out in you, is to help us create a culture that we actually want to be a part of. And what does Jesus say about all of this? Let's go there. It breaks his heart.
Yeah.
Jesus loves women. I promise. I'm not just saying that because I'm a woman. I'm saying that because it's true. He believes in women. He literally spent most of his time on earth, the moves he was making, he was trying to show us the importance of women in the story of Christianity. You can go look it up. He used women to tell his story. In a time where women were really not allowed to do anything except make babies and clean the house and cook the food, he used women. Women were the first people to discover that he was resurrected. There's hundreds of other examples where Jesus used women to expand on his teachings and to explain what he was here for. I just want to give you one or two quotes, if I can, from Katja Adams' book on gender equality and the Bible, and I think that'll just really sort of bring this point home for you. Faced with these glimpses into ancient Middle Eastern attitudes, we have no choice but to view Jesus' interactions with women as totally revolutionary and offensive. In the practice of his ministry, at great risk to his own reputation, Jesus shattered numbers of taboos related to male-female contact and association. Far from the shunning of women that the time thought appropriate, Jesus addressed them personally and taught them theology. He taught equality of marriage rights between husbands and wives. He allowed women to be with him, learn from him, and be like him. He entrusted the most pivotal moment of his ministry to the testimony of a woman. These were not just sweet acts of kindness from a hippie-ish representative of love who was unaware of just how radical he was being, but deeply offensive actions from a God of supreme authority. Jesus broke the ceilings that had been over women for generations. He addressed women as equals to men and was not interested in allowing religious traditions to dictate the freedom of half his body. He liberated women around him. He didn't patronize them, but treated women as equals as he empowered them. As his people, I hope the same can be said of us. So it's not even a question when we look at the scriptures of what Jesus believed about women and where we stand in the kingdom. But for some reason, those ceilings that Jesus spent his whole life on earth breaking have all been rebuilt. Even in the church, they've been rebuilt. And so we find ourselves still fighting for a seat at the table. And that's unbiblical. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We speak about it in church that there's no junior Holy Spirit and no senior Holy Spirit, that kids and adults can speak to the same God. And for some reason, we still seem to have this idea that men and women maybe speak to a different Holy Spirit or hear from a different Holy Spirit. It's all the same. We're all invited into walking out this kingdom life on earth, in following Jesus' footsteps. What Jesus did on earth was out of the cultural norms, but well within the bounds of the kingdom mindset. He was doing it deliberately. He was breaking away from the cultural norms on purpose. And I believe the devil is winning if this is where we are having to focus our energy. Because if he gets women to spend their whole time on earth just fighting for a seat at the table, we don't get to do half the other things we might be called to do as kingdom people, if this is what we are forced to focus on. So I said that the title of my sermon was Hannah's Prayer. And for those of you that don't know, Hannah is a character in the Bible or a person in the Bible. And so for me, it was a little play on words that maybe nobody else found. But if you have a look in the books of Samuel, you'll find the story of Hannah. And she was a faithful woman who served the Lord through many trials. And so for me growing up, obviously I knew that I was named after a Bible character. And so I obviously read that quite a lot. Especially as a child, I think you think it's quite cool that your name's in the Bible. And so this prayer has actually sort of become something that's over my life, and I return to it often. And so even just in preparing for this sermon, as much as I'm talking on women and gender-based violence and all these other things, I also wanted to look at this prayer that Hannah prays and how that ties in with the work that we're doing, fighting for justice, fighting for righteousness in earth, where we are right now. So I'm going to just read it to you, if you don't mind. And then we can just unpack it a little bit as we go. So it starts here. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you, and there is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven, and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. So it's quite a prayer that Hannah is praying. And I'm not going to go too deeply into her story tonight, but what I find so significant in this prayer, in the time that we are living in, or what really stood out to me as I was reading it in preparation for this, is the fact that justice is the Lord's. He will bring justice. Maybe not in the time frame that we want, but at the end of the day, those who follow him will win. Yeah. If that makes sense. We already know our salvation story. But it speaks here. It says he will guard the feet of his faithful servants. But the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. And I took great comfort in that, in just sort of thinking of the fact that God has the final say. If you go and you read through this again, you will see that God will deliver us from evil. And those who refuse to turn, they have a different fate. And so, but it's this thing of trusting God and knowing that he is weighing up these deeds and he is looking at these things. And those who were hungry are hungry no more. And he's returning everything to where it needs to be. Justice and righteousness is the Lord's. And I just find great comfort in that, in Hannah's prayer. Yeah, we so often found Jesus, if we look at the stories in the Gospels about Jesus' life on earth, we so often found him with the outcasts and the downtrodden, the forgotten, the abused, and the left behinds. And part of my prayer, I think, involves being more intentional with those people, fighting for people who can't necessarily fight for themselves. So part of that is fighting for women. There's more to it than that, of course. But part of my prayer is for a world in which we see everyone picking up a sword. Not to defend themselves, but to defend someone else who needs it more. Because that is part of our commission. This isn't about all lives matter, black lives matter, women's lives matter, trans lives matter, all of those things. This is about doing the important work of building the kingdom. Community doesn't look like selective freedom, selective rights, selective justice. That's not the kingdom community. And so part of our commission is to be the people who are picking up swords and fighting for all these things. Because we won't get to live in this magical kingdom community that we have in our heads, the vision we have. We won't get to live there if half the people are still out lying on the streets. If they aren't being defended, if they aren't being brought to the table. I really don't see how we will happily sit at that banquet table while there's still a whole bunch of people lying out there without the support, without us helping and fighting for them. Proverbs 31 verse 8 and 9 says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." That's one of our commissions as people on this great planet. Yeah, it's a big one. I know that. I don't just say this lightly. I understand that it's a big challenge, but it is part of our commission on this on this earth. And so it's something that I find to be very important. One of the things that I would pray for the women of this world and the women of South Africa, is that we would put down the swords of comparison and competition that we have been conditioned to hold. That we'd be able to see beyond these things into the hearts of the women around us and be the women we are called to be, women who love. That's not a bad thing. I think so often the fact that women are so easy to love and so open to those things is used against us. But being women who love is a power. It's a strength. God created us with these gifts, not as a competition, but as a tool. We are uniquely gifted, and the kingdom needs us. The Bible speaks about that, about how we're all gifted, called, and equipped for this beautiful work. So part of our commission is to step into that as women. In my head, when I was thinking about that, I was picturing Braveheart, which the guys always use, the analogy, that sort of call to arms with a lot of less of the blue face makeup, probably, maybe a little bit more feminine, but that brave heart cry of going into battle, that was the picture that I had. And women are the backbone of so many cultures and groups and communities in South Africa, and yet they're not often given the credit for that. And I'm sure you know that as growing up in South Africa, living in South Africa, so many of our communities are being held together by women. They are raising other people's children. They are feeding other people's children. They are, doing everything. And so often that is overlooked. And that's something that I just want to point out on Women's Day, that I think women are the backbone of our country. And we don't often see that. They hold everything together. So right before I was asked to preach on Women's Day, I actually just finished reading like 3 or 4 books about women and women in the church and all these different topics. And so it was a very funny and interesting timing, but that's how it goes. And the one book I read is called Jesus Feminist. Not as angry as you would think. I believe you can be a feminist without being angry. just before everyone automatically goes there and sort of pictures us burning our bras and marching in the streets. There's another way to do it. But I really just wanted to read you this one quote from the book because it just sort of resonated with me straight away. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to read it to you. Women have more to offer the church than mad decorating skills and craft nights. I look around, I see women who can offer strategic leadership, wisdom, counsel, and teaching. So here is what I see when we reclaim the church ladies. A woman loved and free is beautiful. She is laughing with her sisters, and together they are telling their stories, revealing their scars and wounds, the places where they don't have it figured out. They are nurturers, creating a haven where the young, the broken, the tender-hearted, and the at-risk can flourish. These women are dancing and worshiping, hands high, faces tipped towards heaven, tears streaming. They are celebrating all shapes and sizes, talking frankly and respectfully about sexuality and body image, promising to stop calling themselves fat. They are saving babies tossed in rubbish heaps, rescuing child soldiers, supporting mamas trying to make ends meet halfway around the world, thinking of justice when they buy their daily coffee. They are fighting sex trafficking. They are pastoring and counseling. They are choosing life consistently, building hope, doing the hard work of transformation in themselves. They are shaking off the silence of shame and throwing open the prison doors of physical and sexual abuse, addictions, eating disorders, and suicidal depression. Poverty and despair are being unlocked. These women know there are many hands helping turn that key. For the sake of the gospel, women must speak and teach and minister and prophesy. For the sake of the gospel, a woman must be free to walk in her God-breathed self, in whatever vocation and season and place of her life. And she does all of this alongside her brothers to see God's kingdom come and his expressed will done. Doesn't that sound like a kingdom we want to be a part of? Hey? That's the kind of church I want to be in. That's the place I want to be in. That's what I want to see the women around me stepping into. It's so beautiful when you see a woman rise up and step into some of this destiny. I'm sure you can think of someone when I say that, but it's like there's such a power that we need to just be open enough to unlock and come alongside and foster these things. Acts 2 verse 17 and 18, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. That's all of us.
Yeah.
There was nowhere there that said it's only for certain people with certain roles in certain places.
Yeah.
That was men, women, servants, young, old, all of us. And I really believe that if it's not open to all of us, what's the point? That's not kingdom. That's not something I want to be a part of. Don't get me started. The question is, what can we do about it? We can get fired up. We can read some books. But what can we do? I want to argue that there's a lot you can do. And it's probably small things. I'm not asking you to completely revolutionize your life in one night. But I believe that if we each look within ourselves, there must be one small thing you can do this week, different to that what you did last week, that would help turn the tide. And then next week, do another thing. Hey? Simple things, small things. Things that change the narrative. I promise you, the world changes when something powerful is tweeted.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in now. It's not always big, grand gestures that change the world. Sometimes it's when ordinary people actually just rise up and start taking hold of this story. And in South Africa, we have a space, we have freedom to do that. Even in lockdown, we can still make changes. We can still start turning the tide. To come alongside our women, to uplift them, and to lead the world closer to where we are called to be. Hey?
Yeah.
The work is just beginning, but I believe that even just by making ourselves more aware, I think sometimes it's just so easy to live in our bubbles. I know for myself, this whole Black Lives Matter movement has really opened things up for me. Because it's just made me so much more aware of something that honestly hasn't really affected my life personally that much. But that doesn't mean it's not something that I should be learning about and getting educated on to see how I can come alongside my Black brothers and sisters. And the same goes for women. The same goes for this gender-based violence scourge on our nation. We have to educate ourselves and we have to find our place within this narrative. I know I would hate to be able to look back in 50 years and think I did nothing. I just sat there and said, oh, that sucks. I hope someone fixes that. Because it could be you. Unfortunately, statistics are, this thing is a lot closer to us than we realize. And I'm sure if you were in a room full of people, which I know you probably aren't anymore, but if you were in a room full of people and you asked people to be honest about the Me Too aspect of abuse, there would be a lot more hands than what you realize. It is a lot closer to us than we think. And so part of our commission is to help change that, is to turn that tide. And as women, we are called to step into our destiny in this thing, because there's a great power in that. So I actually want to finish this evening by reading another little piece, and then we can just pray and close off from there. But this is something that I discovered the other day, and I felt like it would be a good way to end this Women's Day with sort of a commission for us as women. So it is called Let Us Be Women Who Love. Let us be women willing to lay down our sword words, our sharp looks, and our ignorant silence and towering stance, and fill the earth now with extravagant love. Let us be women who love. Let us be women who make room. Let us be women who open our arms and invite others into an honest, spacious, glorious embrace. Let us be women who carry each other. Let us be women who give from what we have. Let us be women who leap to do the difficult things, the unexpected things, and the necessary things. Let us be women who live for peace. Let us be women who breathe hope. And let us be women who create beauty. Let us be women who love. Let us be a sanctuary where God may dwell. Let us be a garden for tender souls. Let us be a table where others may feast on the goodness of God. Let us be a womb for life to grow. Let us be women who love. Let us rise to the questions of our time. Let us speak to the injustices in our world. Let us move the mountains of fear and intimidation. Let us shout down the walls that separate and divide. Let us fill the earth with the fragrance of love. Let us be women who love. Let us listen for those who have been silenced. Let us honor those who have been devalued. Let us say enough with abuse, abandonment, diminishing, and hiding. Let us not rest until every person is free and equal. Let us be women who love. Let us be women who are savvy, smart, and wise. Let us be women who shine with the light of God in us. Let us be women who take courage and sing the song in our hearts. Let us be women who say yes to the beautiful, unique purpose seated in our souls. Let us be women who call out the song in another's heart. Let us be women who teach our children to do the same. Let us be women who love. Let us be women who love in spite of fear. Let us be women who love in spite of our stories. And let us be women who love loudly, beautifully, divinely. Let us be women who love. Let's just pray together. Yeah, Father God, we know that your heart is for us all. We know that you have plans and purposes for every single person on this planet. And I ask right now that you would just speak into our hearts with our purposes and the plans you have for us, that we would feel called and equipped to help on this great commission, that we would feel your presence and we would know what to do, what to say, what not to say, that you would just come even this week and just influence our minds, influence this narrative, and help us then change the world around us, even if it's in small things, that you would just help us to see with your eyes how we can help, how we can get involved, how we can come alongside, and also how we can step into our destinies and what you are calling us into, Father. We ask that in your name. Amen.